Real College Podcast is presented by the Minnesota Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund and is a production of Radio K.
It's Radio K's Real College Podcast. I'm Patrick Sharkey. It was a busy week on campus last week with all kinds of seminars, workshops, and let's be honest, a little bit of controversy all taking place within a matter of a few days. On today's show, we're going to touch on a few of those events, including a look into a seminar held by Pauline Oliveros, a composer and electronic accordionist. And we'll also take a look at the response to a controversy sparked by one of the local student groups here on campus. And then later this week, we're going to be posting an interview with Dr. Amy Kircher of the Food Protection and Defense Institute. We've been busy here at RCP this week, and we've got a full show for you, so let's get started. Last weekend, composer and electronic accordionist Pauline Oliveros came to campus by invitation of the University of Minnesota Winston Chair. Oliveros, who also specializes in musical improvisation, led a couple of workshops and a participatory performance here on campus, which reporter Emily Allen got to sit in on.
In the late 1980s, a woman named Pauline Oliveros climbed into an abandoned cistern in Fort Morden State Park in Washington. According to The Guardian, she and her accordion were joined by trombonist Stuart Dempster and sound artist Panayotosis. Here they recorded the album Deep Listening, and the three musicians later formed the Deep Listening Band. Since then, Deep Listening has become more than just an album. It's a concept, defined on deeplistening.org as a practice based upon principles of improvisation, electronic music, and meditation, designed to inspire both trained and untrained musicians to practice the art of listening and responding to environmental conditions. Pauline now leads her own Deep Listening Institute, and she has traveled the country to lead deep listening retreats and workshops. Last week, Pauline was invited to campus by the University of Minnesota's Winton Chair.
So good evening, everybody. I want to introduce myself. I'm Pauline Oliveros, and I am lucky enough to be the Winton Chair residency here, and I want to thank the Winton Committee for bringing me
Pauline
here.
Pauline led a couple of deep listening workshops, and she also held a participatory performance featuring improvising ecosystems, a group made of students and staff from the University of Minnesota School of Music and the Department of Art. I had the opportunity to participate in a deep listening workshop on Thursday before the Friday night performance, where I got to speak with a couple of members from the Improvising Ecosystems group about the workshops and their upcoming performance.
It's the group of art students, music faculty students and staff. We're here all together and we're working on improvised ecosystems. That's the project. So now we're at the point where, okay, we want to start creating something together, performing, improvising on instruments and, you know, getting to know each other. And so working with Pauline, it's really interesting at this point of our work.
At both the workshop and the performance, Pauline led us through a number of different improvisation exercises. This is the name exercise, where participants improvise using the sounds of their name. This next exercise was called the waterfall exercise.
And inhale. And exhale. And inhale. Again.
the workshop and the performance, I noticed what Pauline said before some of the exercises.
One is holding the potential for the first sound.
Deep listening is inclusive. In its mission statement, the Deep Listening Institute says it fosters creative innovation across all abilities. Deep listening is for everyone, from musicians to non-musicians, artists to audience members. As a matter of fact, most of the voices you heard in the name and waterfall exercises belong to audience members. And finally, the show ended with a performance from the Improvising Ecosystems group. For Real College Podcast, I'm Emily Allen. And this week I went around campus asking people, are you addicted to your smartphone?
As I look around, like, most people are looking down. So that's like, I'm aware of that. So I try not to be addicted to it.
I used to. I've tried to cut back. I've really, really tried to cut back because it is very addicting.
Sometimes when I feel stressed out or anxious, I go to my phone in like social situations. I don't think it's a bad thing though, if it's used like that. But I definitely, if I'm on my phone around people, I definitely make a mental note to put it down and have actual human interaction.
No, I'm not. Definitely not. I actually see people on the light rail always digging their nose into their smartphones, and I feel, okay, you can just look up once probably and see the people, look at the people around you. Sometimes I do that, but I'm not addicted.
I do. First thing, reach for is the phone, and I'm trying to break away from, like, I try to have times during the day where I put the phone away, turn it off, put it on silent, and kind of just be present and try to balance it out that way. But mainly it's on the phone all the time, messages, and all of that. So
yeah, definitely, especially like in between classes and stuff, I just don't have anything else to do, so I just sit there and look at my phone.
Do you think this is affecting your communication with other people?
Maybe like in-person communication, but it actually helps me communicate with like friends back home and even like people here, so I think it kind of helps too. So
probably, especially now that I'm like further away from people I care about and everything. So
how do you feel about this slight addiction you're admitting to?
I mean, it's scary obviously, but like it's okay because I think I'm using it to connect with people, so it's not as bad as it could be, I think.
Last week, as part of a campus-wide bridge painting day, campus organizations were invited to claim and then paint a square which represents their club on the bridge that links the east and west banks of the University of Minnesota campus. One club, the Campus Republicans, painted a square which resulted in a campus-wide controversy. Their painting read, quote, "Build that wall," which sparked outrage among some students and even resulted in comment from U of M President Eric Kaler. In response, La Raza, which is an advocate group for Latinos here on campus, held a forum in which the matter could be further discussed. Reporters Emily Allen and Jacob Maldonado Medina attended the event and spoke with some students there.
In response to the panel that read Build That Wall, La Raza held a forum for people to go and speak their mind. Emily Allen and I went and recorded some of their statements. We reached out to the campus Republicans but received no response.
Hi everybody, my name is Chen Yu and I am a junior studying Human Resource Development at College of Education and Human Development. I'm also a brother of Sigma Lambda Beta. My line brother Garvey, like when he was up there, he was talking about how his parents, being Hmong refugees during the Vietnam War, waiting for many years to come to this country that was promised to them. And for him to see a message like, build a wall on the bridge, that was shocking, that was painful, because it's it invalidate all that. It just doesn't make sense to me how you can like take over other people's land and claim it's yours and telling other people that you cannot come over because you don't belong here.
My name's Laura. I'm a graduate professional student. Seeing that sign, I didn't expect to feel so afraid and so angry and just not wanting. Personally, I'm going to try to, connect more with La Raza and, the community here, because, it's times like this where you realize how much that's needed.
My name is March. I'm an IT major. To have him say that it is free speech while it is obviously hurting all of us here is insulting. And I am very glad to see that we have all come together to stand up for ourselves against this.
Hi, my name's Jack. It's interesting that people want to build a wall or think that Mexicans are rapists or anything like that, because 1 in 3 Native, or maybe I should say Indigenous women, are sexually assaulted in their lifetime. And so instead of focusing on keeping Indigenous people out, let's focus on solving our own problems here in the U.S.
My name is Eric. I use they, them, and she, her pronouns. I have had one of the worst weekends of my semester trying to explain to people why this hurts me over and over, and using my labor as a femme of color over and over. There are going to be so many detractors that are going to try and say that your oppression and your sadness and your emotions aren't valid, and that you need to calm down, and you need to look at things rationally or whatever, and you need to respect the institution. You don't have to respect the institution if it doesn't respect you.
Hi, my name is Teo. When I see a statement like build that wall, it tells my mother, whose earliest memory is looking at a battle tank destroying a house in front of her grandmother's house, that she can't come here. When I see a statement like build that wall, it tells my father, who was a very dedicated political dissident when he was 17, younger than I am, someone who experienced over a year of torture in a military court, that he can't come here and that he can't feel safe. When I see a statement like build that wall, I think about the fact that I left my country in the middle of the night, leaving everything I had ever known up until that point to a place that actively destroyed the government and economy of my country, that now tells me that I can't be here. And that is really infuriating. Of the simple question of is this or not free speech, I want to talk about what kind of free speech is made acceptable by the university and what kind of free speech is suppressed.
If you or anyone you know has been affected, feel free to reach out to La Raza. They're located in room 211 in Kauffman Memorial Union. Reporting for Radio K, this is Jacob Maldonado.
For now, I know we are alone here. Still, we should be prepared to leave.
You're listening to Real College Podcast, and this is Jacob with Word on the Street. On Tuesday the 11th, Bomba de Luz will be playing an 18-plus show at the Triple Rock alongside DJ Wonderland, Taba, and Happy Children. The group met in high school in our native St. Paul. The song B Minor is off a live album the group recorded to show their growth.
Well, I caught your shadow prowling beside me. I did not agree, thought you'd leave. Then I caught you dreaming, I could just see it. What were you thinking? Please, not me. Then I caught the day moon rising up too soon. I cannot sleep now, thanks to you.
On Thursday the 13th, The Head and the Heart will be playing at Northrop Auditorium with special guest Declan McKenna. While on break from touring and writing, the band members all went their separate ways, some learning kung fu and others working with nonprofits. From their album Let's Be Still, this is Another Story.
These are just flames. Burning in your fireplace, I hear your voice, and it seems as if it was all a dream. I wish it was all a dream. I see a world, a world turning in on itself. Are we just like hungry wolves howling in the night? I don't want no music tonight. You call me up like you once were. Every time I hear another story of the poor boy lost his head.
On Friday the 14th, Tom O'Dell will be playing an 18-plus show at The Fine Line with special guest Barnes Courtney. O'Dell has received many awards and was influenced by the great Elton John. From his second album, this is Constellations.
Sat around the table, the candle lying low. There's people all around us, but they're leaving you alone. Telling me a story, some lover that you had. Go on, tell me now, tell me now. I think I'll understand. The piano man is playing some old melody. It don't mean much to anyone what it does to you and me. It's just some bit of love song that everybody's heard. I'm gonna sing it out, sing it out, sing every single word. It's the same old constellation. Stars up in the sky. Here I've got a feeling they're gonna look different.
For Real College Podcast, I'm Jacob Maldonado, and this was Word on the Street.
That's all for Real College Podcast this week. My thanks to Jaka, Amy, and Emily for their contributions to today's show. Real College Podcast is produced by Max Fuller, Emily LePain, and Jackie Renzetti. The show is edited by me, Patrick Sharkey, and many thanks to you for tuning in each and every week. Remember that we'll be posting a really great interview with Dr. Amy Kircher later this week, and it's one you do not want to miss. And are you afraid of missing out? Well, fret not, because all episodes of RCP can be found on our website, radiok.org. See you next week.
When you held me up, you held me up. You made me mad again. Then before you know, on our own new friends. So cut off on your own, your own. It's only me again. Out of open arms you walk in front. Still what I get. Just to be with you all night. Just to be with you all night. All